Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Tomorrow is a big day. Tomorrow sees the release of a film called Love Yourself Today. Now, it actually centres around Irish singer, songwriter Damien Dempsey, who we all love, and his legendary Christmas gigs in Dublin. In fact, to give you a flavour of the atmosphere, just have a listen to this. Oh my God, I'm nearly in tears just listening to it. It's not your typical concert movie because it actually turns the lens on some of his fans who tell their own difficult stories and talk about why they go to the shows, why they go and just let it all out in a really safe space. And I'm joined in studio now by one of those fans, Nadia Asali. Thank you so much for coming into the studio.
No problem.
It's great to have you. The film, I hear, is absolutely brilliant. You got a chance to see it?
Yeah, I've seen it three times now.
Three times?
Yeah, I think it's one of them films that you would just watch over and over again.
Yeah. It's just incredible, I hear. I cannot wait to see it. It was very brave of you to talk about your own personal story in it. Can you tell us about your younger, when you were small, and your family life back then? Because it wasn't easy, was it?
No, I'm the only girl of a family of like just four of us. One passed away. Yeah, and I suppose like my mom's like an inner city girl, and my father was a Muslim. So growing up, even for me, I never really even knew who I was because you had two people telling you to follow two different things, and it was very difficult. So family life was even difficult growing up. I would have always felt like I was different. I remember I even would have said to my mom, like, I even used to hate being the colour skin that I was, because you wouldn't have seen so many dark families living around in your area at the time. So yeah, growing up was very difficult, and it was difficult in the household as well. Like, it was really, really tough.
Ironically, your dad, who's a Muslim, he drank a bit, didn't he?
Yeah, he drank a little bit. And look, like any Irish family, you're always told not to say anything to anybody, you know, in the household and stuff like that. And yeah, like, look, it was really, really tough, I think, on all of us at the time. Now, thank God today he doesn't drink anymore, so that's a good thing.
But good on him.
Yeah, it was really, really difficult growing up.
You say that the domestic abuse, because of the problems in the house, you thought happened in every house. Was it quite did you think that was a normal thing?
Well, I think when you're brought up in something like that, you just kind of think, well, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
That's the way it is. And you just accept everything. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose when you're young like that, you just learn to kind of live with something like that and you think it's so normal. Did I think it happened in everybody's household? Maybe some and maybe some not, like, you know, because I always wished that I was brought up in another household. Do you know what I mean? I never wanted to be in that family life. But it was very difficult. And I suppose through the years I carried that. So, I mean, like, if you're looking at that when you're growing up, when the years got on, like, I became a mother at like 17 years of age, and I ended up accepting it then in a relationship. Because that's all I knew. That's all that I thought I was worth. I had seen it, so I accepted it. And I sat in that for many years, like, and it was very difficult for me to get out, you know.
How many years were you in that relationship?
13 years.
Wow.
I was there for, yeah. And look, I mean, for me, I found the God. I believe in God. I have a very close relationship with God. I definitely believe that that's the reason why I'm where I am today. But I believe he carried me through it. And I believe that God had a plan for my life, and that wasn't it.
We're introduced to you in the film with a scene of you talking in a drug rehabilitation centre. Can you tell me about the road that brought you to that point?
Yeah, I suppose, like any other girl, you're out doing the little party life when you're younger. But then for me in 2011, my brother was murdered in very horrific circumstances, I suppose. It was something that really, really shocked us all. You would never think that it would happen to a normal family like that. Like, if you know what I mean, it's like you see these things on films. That's the way it was. So when he was murdered, it was like the tip of the iceberg for me. I totally went off the rails. I did suffer from depression and all through the years. But for me, when that happened, I would have took anything to block it out.
Yeah.
And the night that my brother actually had died, it was the first night that I actually tried heroin. And heroin numbed me. I think I was so blinded to when I used to see heroin addicts on the street and judge them, because you don't actually really know what they're going through. But for me, it numbed every single bit of pain that I had. I didn't feel anything. I remember actually standing on the side of my brother's grave and not having any feelings. I couldn't even cry. So for me, it was like I was at the finding heaven. It was something that blocked out everything that had happened to me through the years. And a lot had happened through the years. So, I mean, when you find something like that and it blocks it out, and then sure, when I tried to stop, I couldn't stop because I was so heavily addicted to it. And there was many times that I did try to stop by myself and I just couldn't. So I made the decision to go to treatment and to try change my life. Because with that, I knew that that wasn't the life for me.
It was some life you had. I mean, are we talking in, was it 8 years?
Yeah, 8 years. And with that as well, like being abused through the years as well. So there was so much that had happened in my life that I had carried through with me. And many a times I had like suicide attempts. I had tried to take my own life. I didn't want to be here because I could never see a way out. And I suppose when I found heroin, it was like the strongest painkiller that you could take that you just did not feel. And that's how I got addicted for so long. And I did.
Were you functional in those years? I'm always interested to know how, you know, what was your daily life like with kids and yourself medicating to numb all this horrific stuff that you've been through?
Yeah.
I mean, did people notice? I mean, what was your daily life like?
For a long time, I was able to hide it very well.
Okay.
And I never injected, I smoked. So like, I mean, there is a difference when you're taking a drug like that. Yeah, I did function. I got up and I did all my daily things that I did have to do. But inside, I was still really, really sad, if that makes sense. My family didn't notice straight away, but it was like after a good while that they did notice. I started to lose a lot of weight. And then your whole life is just surrounded by the drug. Your whole life, you wake up in the morning, your kids don't even really matter. And that's a horrible thing to say. It's because your body, when you're withdrawing from that and you're not taking heroin, your body goes into like a shock that you need it. So you would kind of step over anyone or anything to get the drug. And it just wasn't a life. I think I was only existing. I wasn't living.
Of course. Something happened. I mean, you said you put yourself in some pretty dangerous circumstances and that was kind of a wake-up call, was it?
Yeah. I mean, like, I would go out and I would... You don't know even what you're taking these days out on the street. So it could be mixed with anything. You're meeting people that you don't even know and that you're trusting. Like, you're going off with them. You're taking drugs with people that you just don't know. And you've put yourself in so many dangerous situations that I definitely believe that, like, the hand of God was on my life that I'm even sitting here today to tell the story.
It's incredible what you've been through. And to pull yourself out of an 8-year addiction is a monumentous achievement.
Yeah.
So well done for that, because that is... It doesn't happen very often that people can do this, but it takes some willpower for you to do that. So what was the moment that you thought, okay, I need to stop this? Were you always telling yourself you were going to give up but never really could?
Yeah, I remember it actually. This is funny, because every night that I would go to bed, I'd say, this is my last day. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I just never could. The pain was just too much for me and I just never could. So for me, I believe I needed to be taken out of society into a rehabilitation centre like to get my life together.
Who was the first point of call you went to for help? Was it a family member? Did you go straight to a GP or a rehabilitation centre? Where did you go?
I didn't go to a GP or anything like that. I think my family had actually sent me down.
They
were telling me, like, look, you're going to die. You're going to die if you don't get your act together. Like, and I knew that. I knew that if I continued to do what I was doing, I would have ended up dead. And to even do that to my family after losing one child already would have been, I think it would have been very selfish of me. So there was always something inside of me that I knew. I only started taking drugs when I was 26 years of age. So I knew that that wasn't the life for me. I knew that I was worth more and I knew that I could become more. So when I did go to Kilmaine, I think I fought with everything within me to try have a normal life. And especially for two children as well. I want to give them the best life that I can give them and look after them. And I was a single mother for a very long time as well. I'm like, now my family had helped along the way. But I think the kids gave me the motivation. But I can't sit here and say that I did it for them. I did it for me because I had to do it for me first to be able to look after them, if that makes sense. So they would be a big part of it.
You were in there for a year?
Yeah, a year.
Where were your kids when you were in there?
My mum and dad were looking after them.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah.
They really helped out, didn't they?
They really did, yeah.
So they were looking after your kids. You were in there for a year. What was the time like in there?
Some days could drag. I mean, you're living in a house with 20, 24 women. A bit crazy at times. But we were like one big family in there, if that makes sense. So you meet girls in there that have experienced the same things that you have experienced. And I think we kind of became more like sisters and a family in there, like looking after each other, even though we had days we wanted to kill each other. It sounds crazy, but I kind of found a sense of belonging when I was there. And there was times that I loved being there. Like, who would even say that about being in a rehab centre? But I laughed again for the very first time being in a rehabilitation centre. I cried for the very first time for my brother. I didn't cry before. So when I was in there, I was able to face all of these things that had happened to me in life and I was able to heal from them. So it was the best thing that I have ever done was to make the decision to go there.
How long have you been clean now?
Just over 2 years.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah.
What's it like now?
Life is good. I think I have the family that I always have wanted. I have a great partner. We actually had met on the road to recovery. He's just absolutely amazing. He's everything that a man should be. You know when they say you should be treated like a princess, I'm absolutely treated like a princess. And
because you should be.
Yeah.
Do you believe that now?
I believe it. Yeah, I do. I can look in the mirror now and I can say that I'm worth something. Yeah, we were meant to get married last year. It just didn't happen with the COVID. So hopefully we're getting married this July. He has stepped in and being a father to my two kids. Absolutely amazing. And we just have our little family home. And, you know, like no money or nothing in the world can buy that happiness, you know. To have a sense of a peace of mind, that's the gift, I think.
Now, your kids, I don't know, were they too young to notice? Well, obviously they notice you not being around, but you have a 17-year-old now.
Yeah, he's not stupid.
Yeah, does he know the story? Do you sit him down and talk to him about
Yeah,
it?
He knows. And he has seen it. He has seen the pain that I've been in. He used to sit down and just say, "Mom, I just want you to be okay and stuff." He has seen the hurt and the pain and he has stuck by me all the way and he's just an amazing kid.
Wow.
You know, and I hope that this will teach him that he will never go down that kind of road.
You say you wish more people in similar circumstances would have the courage to reach out for help. I suppose that's another reason why you've decided to do this interview on the radio. It's not an easy thing asking for help. But that's the first most important step, isn't it? So have you any advice for people out there?
I think too many people are quiet. I think that they should use their voice and they should speak out. And I think the most important thing is to talk. To talk and to reach out to somebody, to just even ask for help, like to push and just ask for help. And if there's anybody out there living in the ways that I have lived through the years, it's to speak out, you know, and try have the courage to stand up and believe in themselves. Because I think that there's too many women that is too quiet.
And probably don't feel they deserve help.
I
think that's the biggest problem, probably kept you from it for all those 8 years that you were in that
Yeah,
hell, I suspect.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people look down on people that use heroin and use drugs.
You're right.
And I don't, like, they don't know what's behind all of that. Like, we didn't wake up one day and just say, oh, I want to become a heroin addict. There's a story behind that. People are hurting out there. And there is, and don't get me wrong, I know there is people that don't want help, but there's a lot of people that do need help. And I think we're even short of facilities to take people in.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're very short of that.
The main man himself, Damien Dempsey, says his way of dealing with trauma is through music, nature and gratitude. Is that something you can identify with?
Most definitely. I actually write music myself and I sing. So I definitely believe that I found healing through them. So when I sing, sometimes I just feel lost, you know, and most of the songs that I would write are all about my past and about hurt and about pain. And I think that that's the real music, when you can connect with something like that. And I think that's what makes his music so special. Every word that he sings, you feel like you've experienced it. And it definitely touches the soul. And I think that's why people can connect with his music.
It's great to hear that you're doing so well.
Thank you.
You've put a lot of work into yourself, and that is the hardest thing anybody could do, and to admit that they need to do so. Well done. Nadia, Sally, I suspect I'll hear more great things from you in the future. It's been an absolute pleasure having you in today, and I can only wish you and your family the very best of luck. Love yourself today. It's a great film. It's really worth your attention. If you can catch it in cinemas from tomorrow, we'll be right back.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.